Groundbreaking movies, lavish parties, glitz, glamour, and the coastline of sunny southern France shape the tried-and-true formula of the Cannes Film Festival. This year, Cannes celebrates the festival's 60th anniversary with a range of films from high art to highly commercial. Dana Thomas is there. She'll tell us what's hot, what's not, and what's in a B-suit. If you have questions about this year's big films, Sicko, Mighty Heart, Ocean's 13, give us a call, 800-989-8255, or zap us an email, talk@npr.org. And joining us from her hotel in Cannes is Dana Thomas. She's Newsweek's European arts and entertainment correspondent. Her book, Deluxe, How Luxury Lost Its Luster, will be out in August. Nice to have you on the program today.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
And why don't we start with one of this year's big threequels here in the States. People are already seeing this commercial.
This town might have changed, but not me. I know people highly invested in my survival, and they are people who really know how to hurt in ways you can't even imagine.
Well, I know all the guys that you'd hire to come after me. They like me better than you.
That's, of course, George Clooney. I understand you've just left the screening of Ocean's 13. What did you think?
It's a rollicking romp of a movie, a great summer movie for everyone and anyone. I got the feeling they took care in making sure it gets a PG rating. There's hardly any swearing. There's no violence. It's a general audience movie, and it's a lot of fun.
So we're not going to be disappointed by the ending?
Oh, no, not at all. Of course it turns out right and well, and Danny Ocean always wins his ploys, right?
It's one of those ones you say the good guys win. No, it's the bad guys. They're all bad guys.
They're all bad guys. They're all good guys. Mostly they're having a lot of fun, and we have fun watching them.
Now, Michael Moore's Sicko is another movie that's getting an awful lot of attention there. Is that worth all the hype?
It absolutely is. It's the first movie Michael Moore has made in a while that really is tempered. He's lightened up on the gas pedal a bit. He's not ranting and raving. He's not doing any tricks or ploys. He's just putting it out there for people to make their own judgment. And his argument has some merit. He says, you know, how can insurance companies be in the health business? Insurance companies have to answer to their shareholders. And to answer their shareholders, they have to come up with profits, which means not paying for health care. So how can they be taking care of American citizens if they're trying to not pay for their health care?
We have a clip from this movie as well. In this, Michael Moore is talking about somebody, about the difficulties of dealing with not having health insurance.
This is Rick.
I was ripping a piece of wood, and I grabbed it right here, and it hit a knot.
He sawed off the tops of two of his fingers.
And I just zipped. It was that quick.
His first thought?
I don't have insurance. How much is this going to cost?
The hospital gave him a choice. Reattach the middle finger for $60,000 or do the ring finger for $12,000.
And is this a movie that's made up of a lot of personal stories like that one?
Oh, it's heartbreaking. There's a story about a man who doesn't get his bone marrow transplant because the insurance companies deemed it experimental, and he dies and leaves and he's young, and he could have maybe made it. You never know with medicine, but the fact that they made the choice for him was devastating.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another man who has to make the choice when he saws off his fingers between putting his ring finger back on or his middle finger because the insurance company won't pay for both.
Yeah.
And he shows his ring finger for sentimental reasons because of his wedding ring.
Hmm. Now, there is Cannes is not only a place for screening these films and the competition and all of that. It is a great platform for people to get up and, make points about art or sometimes about politics. And, of course, Michael Moore is no stranger to that either.
That's right. He came here a few years ago with Fahrenheit 9/11. And he won the Palme d'Or, so he decided not to put his movie in competition this time because he said, why should I have another movie in competition and win another Palme d'Or, which already was controversial, the idea that he thinks he could win it that easily again.
Right.
But he does stir up debate. And, of course, his movie is loved by the French because he meant that France has the world's greatest healthcare system, and the French loved hearing that.
I suspect they did. He's also his antipathy to President Bush, I'm sure, did not cost him any popularity points.
No, not at all.
And who actually goes to the Cannes Film Festival? Are these distributors? Are these who's in the crowd?
That's a good question. The crowd is made up of movie stars, of film movers and shakers, producers, wannabe script writers. I went to the American Pavilion the other day, and there was a professor of film with a couple of his students, and they were here trying to see whatever they can see and just taking it all in. It's a real mix. You've got bloggers. You've got guys trying to sell scripts. You've got people trying to raise money for movies that don't exist yet.
Hmm?
And then you got George Clooney and Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie.
I mean, do you need tickets to go to these things? Do they cost a lot of money to go?
You can't buy them. You have to know people to get them. If you're in the media, you get a badge and you can get into screenings. If you're in the market, you go to screenings to look to buy movies to distribute around the world. And then the locals, they manage to get tickets through the local city hall or through people who work in town, or, you know, there's always tickets around for locals. I stay at a little hotel here that's a family-run place. Then they always wind up getting a few tickets to go to the movies.
We're talking with Dana Thomas, Newsweek's European arts and entertainment correspondent, who's with us on the phone from that little hotel in Cannes in southern France. If you'd like to ask questions about the festival, the films this year, or about the spectacle itself, give us a call, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email us, talk@npr.org. And Cannes Film Festival has also been famous or notorious, depending on your point of view, for some of the most lavish parties ever thrown.
Oh, absolutely. I actually went last night to the AMFAR fundraiser for AIDS research, Cinema Against AIDS, at the Moulin des Mougins, which is a 3-star restaurant up in the hills behind Cannes. And it was a very swank affair with Sharon Stone and Silver Lame auctioning off Chopard jewels and yacht trips and all sorts of booty for a lot of money, and she managed to raise $7 million during that dinner from the rich people who were and celebrities who were willing to fork it out for AIDS research.
And
after this phone call, I'm going to go to the Ocean's 13 party, which should be quite an affair as well.
And is this going to be what would you expect at the buffet line there at the Ocean's 13 film party?
That's a good question. Since it's a movie about Las Vegas, I don't wonder if they're not going to have a smorgasbord.
Could be. Of course, it could be a gamble no matter what you try.
Exactly.
I wonder if I've heard that, in fact, in general, things are a little bit less lavish than they used to be in the old days.
Well, you can see a bit of budget cuts along the way, here and there, tightening of belts, and also the division from VIPs and the hoi polloi, you know, us journos and distributors and, you know, the people who don't make deals but just go see movies. Before, Cannes used to be a real mix where, you know, you could be dancing with Danny DeVito or walking into a party with Gael Garcia Bernal or, you know, talking movies with Martin Scorsese. And now they're cordoned off VIP areas and no one gets near them and they just have to take pictures with their cell phones. It's gently killing the spirit of the festival, because, you know, the word festive is in festival, and it was a very festive atmosphere for a long time, and bodyguards are sort of breaking that up.
Let's see if we can get a caller on the line. This is Seth, and Seth is with us from Arizona.
Hi. I was listening to your conversation earlier, and you mentioned something called the American Pavilion. I was wondering if you could tell me what that is.
What is the American Pavilion, Dana?
Well, sure. Absolutely. You know, the Cannes Film Festival is a gigantic trade show, in a sense. You have the festival with the films in competition, but then you have a market going on at the same time, people selling movies, trying to get distribution. And then you have different countries or different companies, different associations who set up pavilions or, you know, basically stands like you would at a convention. And there's the Canadians, and there's the British, and there's the Americans, and there's maybe a film festival like the Taormina Film Festival or another that will have a stand. So the American Pavilion is the place that is privately run where Americans can gather. There's some computers. There's a little cafe. They have a little room for press conferences if somebody wants to do a panel discussion or something. And it's sort of a nice little place where you can go and hang out with Americans when you can't speak French.
Is this run by the MPAA, the Motion Picture Association of America?
No, it's not. It's a private organization that runs it.
Okay.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
All right, Seth, you've got a place to go in Cannes.
All right, I'll try.
All right, bye-bye. The other thing that happens there, there was a fascinating story here in the Washington Post the other day about one of the great stunts of this year's Cannes Film Festival, and that was Jerry Seinfeld dressed in a bee suit who dropped down from the floor of a tall building on a wire.
That was a very amusing event. Yes, Jerry's game, huh? He put on this gigantic bee suit, stuffed himself in it, and not once, not twice, but three times, ran up and down this cable, buzzing to the music of Flight of the Butterfly, over the Croisette and down to the docks of the Carlton Hotel, from the eighth story of the Carlton Hotel down to its dock in the sea. And with Chris Rock down below saying to him, you know, Jerry, what are you doing up there? And Jerry said, can't you tell? I'm promoting a movie.
The Bee Movie, which is an animated picture in which he stars and which he produced. And there was a quote of Chris Rock's in this piece that I thought was just fascinating. He said, look, we're not hired so much to act in films. We're hired to sell them.
That's absolutely true. And that's a lot of what Cannes Film Festival is about, is selling movies. You know, they come here to launch a movie, Ocean 13, tonight. You know, it's nice to have a big, fun movie here, but they're using the Cannes Film Festival as a platform to launch this movie into theaters. And, you know, it's going to get a lot of publicity. They're going to be pitched everywhere, and everyone's going to be buzzing about it, as we are tonight. And the same thing with the Bee Movie, speaking of buzzing. That movie's not coming out until November, but Jeffrey Katzenberg, the head of animation at DreamWorks, invited journalists to come in and see various bits of the film in different degrees of completion, and talk with Jerry Seinfeld and talk with Chris Rock. This is great for the magazines that are coming out ahead of time. This is great for people to have background when they write their stories, and it gets, you know, the buzz, so to speak, going on the movie.
And it helps also. Jerry Seinfeld, of course, a household name in this country, not so much in much of the rest of the world. Anyway, we're talking with Dana Thomas. She's Newsweek's European arts and entertainment correspondent. If you'd like to join us in our conversation about the Cannes Film Festival, 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.news. And this is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Another film that's getting a lot of people talking about it is called A Mighty Heart, and it's the story of the kidnap and murder of Daniel Pearl. And we have a clip from the movie. Angelina Jolie, as Daniel Pearl's wife, narrates the events that led up to his kidnapping.
The day after 9/11, Danny and I flew to Pakistan. He was the South Asia bureau chief for the Wall Street Journal, and I was working for French public radio.
Sorry, I'm so late. I'll call you.
Leave your phone off.
Okay. By the end of January, we were ready to go home. But there was one more interview that Danny wanted.
And, of course, that interview turns out to be the dramatic event. This is a film not so much about him as it is about her. And, of course, Angelina Jolie is starring in a rather smaller film. She certainly can be and often is in much bigger productions.
It's a smaller film, but I think it will wind up being a big film, A Mighty Heart. There was a moment in the film when she lets out a primal wail where I heard people buzzing, there's her next Oscar.
Hmm.
She dominates in this film, and while you say it's a small film, it's produced by Brad Pitt. He's no small shakes.
No, indeed not. Indeed not. Is Cannes still an important venue for independent movies?
It absolutely is. A lot of filmmakers still bring their movies here, and they don't have distribution yet, but they've had enough backing to make it, and they get picked up very quickly. There's a really lovely movie that we saw here a couple of nights ago by the artist Julian Schnabel about an editor from French L who suffered a stroke and was reduced to the only thing that could move afterwards was his left eye. And he blinked with his interpreter an entire book about his experience, which was published in 1997, and he died a few days later. And Julian Schnabel has taken this book and turned it into an extraordinary movie in French that was so, so beautiful and so touching. But when it screened here and got rapturous applause, I think I heard it got 25 minutes standing ovation, it did not have an American distributor. It was not going to be seen in American theaters. I suspect that has been resolved.
Well, let's see if we can get another caller in. Susan's on the line with us. Susan calling from South Dakota.
Hi, how are you?
Very well, thanks.
I was in Cannes last summer, and I'm interested to know, first, what's the weather today? And also, saw a building with large steps leading up to it, directed to that building as the location of film being shown. And I'm wondering if your correspondent could say if that's where all the films are viewed by the visitors to the festival.
Mm-hmm. The weather today in Washington is lovely, and I thank you for asking that, but you may be interested what the weather's like in Cannes. Why don't you go ahead, Dana?
Yes.
Dana?
We've been very lucky this festival. Generally, we have a rainy couple days, and that then you don't mind spending all your time sitting in the dark theater in the movies. But it's been absolutely glorious. And as I'm based in Paris, I could tell you it's been like this for so long now that I've started waking up saying, did someone move me to the Southern California and forget to tell me? So it's been balmy and beautiful.
All right.
As for the building to describe, it's what we lovingly call the bunker, and the festival calls the Palais des Festivals. And it is indeed where the big broad steps that lead up to a big theater is where they have the premieres. And there's another theater on the side where they have another sidebar of movies called En Cet Legal, which is also premieres. And then there's some smaller theaters inside where we have market screenings. We have screenings. If you've missed the big one, you can catch it a second time if you're overbooked, which is often the case here. And then there's a building behind called the Riviera that was built by the festival put together and built, not personally, but by the festival's market director, Jerome Payal, and it's called Riviera, and it's a big round.
And we're going to have to leave it there. Our travelogue of Cannes is over. Susan, thanks very much. Dana Thomas, thank you for your time. She's Newsweek's European Arts and Entertainment correspondent. Lynn Neary will be here on Monday. Ira Flatow tomorrow. I'll see you on Tuesday. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News.